you. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, should we allow some air into our brains? Can you please stand up if you can? Just give a big hug on the person next to you. Share some of that love. Wonderful. Hey. Love is a verb. Okay. Excellent. I find with time that my notes are getting smaller. I mean, not smaller in size, but I am writing less. So I think we'll be done maybe in 10 minutes.
Let's see.
Okay. Okay, very good. All right, can we have the next slide, please? Today I am going to talk about Abraham's calling, not only his calling, but I want to draw a parallel, with his calling, how it connects with us somehow. So is that okay if I just throw some numbers at you first?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got some numbers here. Very good. Wonderful. All right, yeah, up to 50 if you want to count. I need volunteers to help pick it up later. That's fine. So Abraham was born 200 years after the flood, give or take. 2,000 years before Jesus, give or take. He left home when he was 75. He had Ishmael when he was 86. Circumcised at 99. And he had Isaac when he was 100 years old. Now, at that time, Abraham was called Abram, which means high father. And then you know, with the encounter with God, his name was changed to Abraham, a father of a multitude. The first mention of, oh, I brought a Bible today. First mention of Abraham in the Bible is in Genesis 11. It's not going to come up on the wall, but it's on the Bible. Beginning on verse 27, I am just going to read. I'm not going to read because it's genealogy. Lots of names I can't pronounce, but you can. Yeah, there's Abraham's dad there. He had children. Abraham had brothers. One of his brothers had a son called Lot. This dude died, and Abraham took Lot under his wings. Okay, and then when Abraham receives his call to leave, the place where he was, he brings his family along, and that includes Lot. Okay, my summary of Genesis 11:27 through to 32. Okay, so I'm going to read his calling. His calling will come up on the wall on the next slide, please. So this is God speaking to Abraham. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So his calling targets the most essential elements of identity in the value system of the time, right? Leave the land. Leave your land. The land was a source of survival, okay? Livestock and all that. Yeah, getting maintenance from the land. Leaving the land meant leaving, survival behind. Where am I going to go? The second one is family. Family speaks very much about identity, right? Ancestors, present, future. Inheritance speaks about place in the family. Now, Abraham waved goodbye to all of that. To survival, identity, security, future. He placed all of those things in God's hands when he took a step of faith. Did Abraham know God? Did Abraham know Yahweh? Well, the Bible tells us that Abraham was born in Ur of the Chaldeans, modern Iraq. And Joshua 24, verse 2, says that Abraham and his dad worshipped idols. One of them was the moon, you know, that controlled the cycle of life, controlled the heavens, and they worshipped the moon. Moon was just one of the many, many idols they worshipped. And when God calls Abraham to leave his country, his family, and his father's house, he's asking him to leave the worship of those very different idols. At the time, different gods, lowercase g, were assigned to families, were assigned to land, to territory, were assigned to cities, to countries. And leaving the country meant leaving country, city gods behind. Leaving family meant leaving clan gods behind. And leaving the father's house meant leaving ancestral gods behind. So God was calling Abraham out of a polytheistic environment into a monotheistic environment. Now, Abraham certainly heard stories about Yahweh through generations. His dad's dad, certainly heard some stories. He had maybe a bit of head knowledge about Yahweh. But when he heard Yahweh's voice and he learned that he could interact with Yahweh and even become a friend, a close friend with Yahweh, his mind was, this God is not like the other gods. It's not like a chair that I can sit and will support me. I have faith in it, but the more I pray to it, nothing will, you know, it will not grow wheels in an engine and take me places. No, he won't. It's just the distant object of worship. But that was different when he came to face to face with Yahweh. And he took a step. He heard a call. Leave everything behind. Everything you know, everything you trust, everything you are. Leave it all behind. Hebrews 11:8 say that Abraham's obedience was faith put into action. I think some of those dudes that are mentioned from the Old Testament that are then mentioned again in the New Testament is because they really made history. They're worth mentioning again and again and again. Abraham was one of them. If my wife is hearing this, she could be in the foyer feeding Olivia. I could really do with a glass of water. Let's see if we'll come. It's all right. Okay, so I'm going to focus not only on Abraham's calling, but I'm going to spend some time looking at his relationship with his nephew. Remember, his nephew Lot lost his dad. Hey, look at this. Oh, she's bringing food. Wonderful. thank you. I didn't even look her in the eye. Okay. Oops. So Lot lost his dad. Abraham took Lot under his wing. Some sources say that Lot was not like a little baby, but he was about 25 years of age. I'll take that with a pinch of salt. I am not very sure. Oh, yeah, well, you could, yeah. Hey, but you know what Lot means? It doesn't mean a lot, but it means wrapped up, hidden, covered. And that's what happened to him. His dad died, And he got wrapped up, hidden, covered, adopted by his uncle Abraham. Lot had a bit of a problem. He was so easily influenced by the environment he was in. We know the story later on. And he had to stick with Abraham, you know, stick to him and he'd be fine. But we know that that didn't happen, and we're going to get to that at some point. So skipping to Genesis 13, we find Abraham and Lot. They are very rich in livestock. You know, they got lots of livestock, but the land seems to be too small for the two of them and all their livestock, their herdsmen. We read that, you know, there was some dispute between the herdsmen. They were, you know, your sheep is eating this piece of grass that belongs to my sheep and all that. So there were, you know, some quarrels, some disputes going on. And it came to a point that Abraham had to come to Lot. You know, this town ain't big enough for the two of us. But Abraham was a man of peace, wasn't he? We're family. Come on. Let's not fight over this. Let's not get, you know, let's not allow this to come in between us. Come on, take your peek. Look around and pick wherever you want to go. So Abraham really put at risk, you know, making the best choice. But I'd like to say that in the sidelines, I think it's a good thing. Honor. You know, okay, you have a pick. You choose. All right, so if you have a look at Genesis 13:19, we read that Lot's, what he picked, you know, he looked to the plains of Jordan and how well watered, you know, that area was. And verse 19 even compares that area to the Garden of Eden. Not a bad choice, I must say. Not a bad choice. Except it was too close to Sodom. That's where he pitched his tent. He was quite close to Sodom. And verse 13 says that the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful. About 12 years later, we find Lot living in Sodom. So he began pitching his tent closer and closer and closer, and then we find himself living in Sodom already, okay? And then, what chapter is that? I think 13. I'm not sure. But there are so many different names of the kings there that I choose not to read and embarrass myself. But basically, there was a war. War broke out. And Lot and his family are taken captive. So it's the first record of a hostage situation, I believe, in the world. And when Abraham heard that, what does your Bible say? Did he say, well, Lot, you had it coming. All right. See you in the afterlife, or I don't care. That's not what he did. He gathered 318 armed men and went on a mission to rescue Lot. He pursued Lot to the farthest ends of Israel. So the Bible says that he went all the way up to Dan, which means judgment. And that's the northmost part of Israel. Jeremiah 4:21 describes Dan as this place where you can hear the sound of threatening enemies. Amos 8:14 speaks of Dan as a as a location of pagan worship. But Abraham doesn't care because Lot is family, and he gathers all these men and he pursues Lot into territory, into enemy territory. That's what he does because he is family. Lot is rescued. Hooray! But for some reason, Lot is back in Sodom. Why? I don't know, but he's back. So, you know, despite his stupid decision to go back, to move back into Sodom, Abraham respects that. You know, despite, you know, having risked his life to rescue Lot. In Genesis 18, before telling Abe his plans to destroy Sodom, God, the Trinity actually, I think, is having a conversation, and they say, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" Check the level of friendship here. So this guy, Abe, who had lots of idols he would pray to and no response would come out from, and he has this encounter with the living God who not only interacts with him, gives direct revelation to him, and then calls him a friend. You know, I'm not going to destroy that place, not before, you know, sort of sharing my plans with Abraham. And I believe you all know the story. Abraham begins to negotiate with God. You know, say, "Well, God, say there's 50 righteous men. Would you still destroy it?" God says, "Oh, well, 50. No." And he comes down all the way to 10 righteous men. And God says, "Well, 10 righteous men. Yeah, no, I'm not going to destroy Sodom if there are 10 righteous men there." So he intercedes for Lot. And to intercede is to come between. So Abraham was like, "Hang on, God. Don't destroy Sodom just now. I've got family in there." So he was interceding. He was coming in between God and his plan to, coming between God and Lot, trying to postpone a little bit the plans that God had for Sodom, because Sodom was a wicked, wicked place. And the Lot lesson here is that, you know, bad results come from being soaked into a sinful environment. But it's also an illustration of God's mercy despite our bad decisions. Okay, we're going to fast forward 2,000 years. Are you ready? Next slide. All right, so we get to Jesus. It's a little bit dark there, but it's okay. It's probably sunset. Now, what I want to point out is that Jesus' call was not very much different from that of Abraham's. He left his father's house. John 1:14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus left the glory of heaven and took human form. The Creator became creature, became creation. And he experienced weaknesses, limitations, temptations, pain, hunger, cold, and the list goes on and on and on. If we look at Philippians 2, where is my Philippians? All right, if we look at Philippians 2, beginning in verse 7, it says, "He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The result of Abraham's obedience, God said, I will make your name great. The result of Jesus' obedience, his name is still the name that is above every other name. Like Lot, we were wrapped up. Yeah? We were orphans. We got wrapped up, covered, taken under our dad's wings. And like in the relationship between Abraham and Lot, God gave Abraham a vision, and Abraham brought him along. God shares his vision with us and invites us on a journey. We know that Lot's downfall was the fact that he didn't really grasp the vision. He picked economic factors over spiritual outcome when he chose to live near Sodom. Now, how many stupid choices have you made this year? Okay, we don't need a show of hands because I probably don't have that many fingers. But the truth is that God respects our stupid choices, but he will not stop pursuing us. Isn't it what Abraham did to Lot? He will not stop pursuing us. I don't know if you can look back at the days where, you know, before you knew the Lord, that he was already in a hot pursuit. I remember for 5 years in my life, I tried to run away from God. To the point that I said, God, here I am. I can't hide anymore. Because he was pursuing, and he is a God who pursues. The very same word that we read there in Genesis when Abraham was pursuing Lot is the very same word that we read in Psalm 23. Goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. Isn't that amazing? Try and run away from his goodness. Try and run away from his kindness. Won't be able to. You won't be able to. Abe pursued Lot into enemy territory. Jesus pursued you into enemy territory. And he gave his life in exchange. Colossians 2:14 says that he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And just like Abe was interceding for Lot, Jesus is in heaven interceding for us. Did you know that? Hebrews 7:23, God is sitting at God, Jesus is sitting at God's right hand interceding for us. It's not that he's going, please, 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 please. No. But it's like the Father looks to his right as if he needed a reminder. He looks at Jesus. And yeah, you pay the price. You've done the intercession. You are the advocate. You know, all these guys, those that say yes to you, they're fine. They're all good. Despite, you know, their decisions sometimes. But my heart can't stop pursuing them. My heart can't stop. So my yes to Jesus changes my status. I'm righteous. Living in Sodom, still. Yeah? Because we live in a sinful and a wicked generation. But we are righteous. If we are not, if we don't allow the environment, you know, to take over like it happened to Lot. Lamentations 3:22 says, through your mercies, we are not consumed. Sodom didn't have that luck. Okay. I don't know if you released your seatbelts, but I want you to buckle up once again. We're going to travel. We're going to fast forward 2,000 more years. And the point here The point I want to get to is that your calling, my calling, is not much different from that of Abraham's. The first disciples, they abandoned their houses, their family, you know, the family trade. In Luke 9, beginning in verse 57, if your Bibles have those little, titles that you know that they were put on much later, when the Bible was translated into different languages. But Luke 9, the little title there is, at least in my Bible, it says, cost of discipleship. So there is a cost. When God calls, there is a cost. And there are three things I am not going to read, but if you have a look at verse 57, the cost of discipleship. We says here that it happened as they journeyed on the road. Someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So if you want to come, you know, get ready to say goodbye to comfort. Get ready to say goodbye to security. Later on, someone said to him, I will follow you, but let me bury my father first. Now, honoring parents was a big deal at the time. It's a shame we kind of lost it a little bit. But the you know, burial's obligations fell on the oldest son. And you know that neglecting that obligation meant becoming an outcast in the family and being dishonored in the village. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Say goodbye to your status in the family. Say goodbye to your good name in the village. And then a third one came and said, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to those in my house. Jesus says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In the Gospels, Jesus says, whoever doesn't love family less than they love me is unfit to be my disciple. That is my paraphrase. But there are three areas here that are affected in our call to following Jesus. Security, comfort, status, and relationships. If any of these three come in the way of you following Jesus, you need some work to do. They must not get in the way. That's what Abraham is called out of. That's what we are called out of. You know that some versions say, if you don't hate your mother or your father, I don't think we're supposed to take that literally, but actually it's about loving less, isn't it? Please correct me if I'm wrong. And the follow that Jesus says to us is an invitation to a journey. And in that journey, he shares a vision with us. He shares his heart with us. And if we don't grasp it, if we don't allow that vision to become our vision, we may end up like, you know, that dude that moved into Sodom. And part of that heart that God shares with us is a heart of pursuit. Pursuit for him. Pursuit for the things that his heart is after. As I was preparing this, I got reminded of one of my favorite TV shows when I was a kid. And was it 80s? Maybe the Knight Rider or something. And I remembered that the guy would say, you know, something like super pursuit mode or something. We even have a video to back that up. I don't know. I'm hoping it will play. It's only a short video to illustrate my point. So God is always in this super pursuit mode, and he wants to share that with us, to pursue the things that he pursues. And that includes pursuing people into enemy territory. It means saying goodbye to security sometimes, to status, to what other people will think for the sake of going into enemy territory, to pursue, to rescue, and to bring back, to intercede for those who wandered away.
Explosive.
Devin, we're looking at Tanika's blueprint for the total annihilation of O'Brien Industries.
I'll call Nick immediately.
You got it. Super pursuit mode, pal.
Awesome. It's a shame that doesn't happen to us. Super pursuit mode. Our ears stick out. But Jesus came to present an extremist gospel. I'm not talking about religion, because extreme religion, well, you know, we know the results, but is an extremist gospel. Extremes speaks of greatest degrees. It's the opposite of moderate. Jesus didn't come to bring anything moderate. He didn't say the Father sort of had some kind of affection. His heart was 50-50. And he sent Jesus, you know, to just pop in and come out quickly. And get this sorted out and, oh, hey, great. No, but it's about extreme. God gave everything. God gave his best, because he loved and he loves to the extreme. And that's what we're called to do. Go and make disciples to the extremes of the earth. It might not be geographical to all of us, but when it comes to interceding, we go into enemy territory. And you know you go into enemy territory because you feel the effects. In your life, in your family, people start getting ill, you have a car crash, things start happening when you pray. Good things as well as bad things, because we know, the enemy knows that we're venturing, we're going into his territory. So the call, this call of Abraham and 4,000 years in the future, or better yet, in the present, it is the same call. It's an invitation to go on a journey and receive the vision that God wants to share with us. So I believe that God wants to pump some hearts into action again this morning. right? And in the next slide, I haven't brought my defibrillator. I haven't actually got one. But anyway, when the heart is fibrillating, it is beating in a chaotic manner, erratic. It's not beating the way it's meant to be. So a defibrillator will put an end to that chaotic rhythm and bring the heart to beat normally again. So I believe that's what God wants to do this morning. And I'll encourage you to come with an open heart. Because the cutting hurts. So come with it open already. If you know where I'm trying to get to. And allow him to just step back. Bring that heart back into action. Super pursuit mode. Yeah? For him. Pursuit of him. And as a result, pursuit of the things that he pursues. So as we break bread this morning, I want to encourage you to not come on your own, but bring someone along with you. And if you need prayer in that area, if you think that maybe there are some parts of my heart that are beating kind of, you know, erratically, not the way it should, as you come and break bread, don't go back to your seat. Stick around so we can pray for you. Okay? So the table is open for the believers. You know, it's for people who have said yes. Who people have recognized, yeah, I've been pursued all this time. I've given up. I say yes to him. We don't have children in the room, but in case, and while we're doing this, your child comes wandering into the room, it is really up to you to decide whether your child is ready to take part in this. But as we break bread, as we look back 2,000 years, Jesus' obedience, venturing into enemy territory, to rescue every single one of us. He was obedient to the point of death and death on the cross. And today we celebrate this death and we also celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate that the fact that we've been rescued. We are made righteous through the blood of the Lamb. But we also acknowledge that sometimes our heart fibrillates a bit. And we need that electric shock, you know, to get it pumping properly with excitement again. Yeah? So when you come to the table, grab someone, bring someone along. Come with excitement, all right? And don't go back to your seat if you want prayer, all right? I would like to pray. Other people here also, they would love to pray, I believe, for you, okay? So we're not going to do that literally, right? Don't worry. We're going to pray for your hearts, all right? Do come. Can we have a song kind of in the background, like that will get hearts pumping? No, I'm joking. It can be just something calm and nice. Do come. Thank you, Jesus.